Life has been so good, I can't complain. And when I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen for His call. Heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. It seems like lately it's always on my mind. And someday I'll leave this world behind. And heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave. But we have this blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe all the tears from our eyes. When we meet in that land beyond the skies, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. It seems like lately it's always on my mind. And someday I'll leave this world behind. 'Cause heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, heaven, it's sounding sweeter all the time.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Lassiter. Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. No, my Sunday school class, I have not gotten mixed up whether I'm in Sunday school or church. I'm in Acts chapter 19 in our Sunday school class. Acts chapter 19, heaven is sounding better all the time. I was thinking while we were singing the national anthem, how wonderful heaven's going to be. You say, how in the world that reminds you of heaven? Well, I got to looking around here in our choir in our church, and I noticed in our choir we had people from the Dominican Republic. We had people from the Philippines, we had people from Africa, we had people from Mexico, people from America, all singing in our choir and pledging allegiance to the American flag. When we get to heaven, there's going to be people from everywhere. If we've done our job right, if we've sent out the gospel and missionaries and been faithful, and they'll be pledging allegiance to Jesus Christ only. Amen, amen. Have you found your place in Acts chapter 19? Stand, if you will, and we shall begin to read in verse number 13 for our message today. The Bible says in verse number 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure thee," or "you, by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth." Now, Paul had been preaching and casting out evil spirits from people that were under the control of the devil. And these unsaved Jews said, if Paul can do it, we can do it. And so they took upon them the responsibility of trying to do the same thing. And they called over them that had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva. How would you like to have that for a name? There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. Sceva's seven sons were this group that was trying to cast out evil spirits. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. This is one man with evil spirits beat up seven sons of Sceva and leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. By the way, that's the way devil always leaves his victims. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts. That means they were fortune tellers, tarot card readers, Ouija board operators. They brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's about $25,000 to $35,000 in our day. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, I want you to go back and look at verse 14 and 15. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priest, which did so, and the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I want to speak to you on this subject. What does the devil know about you? This evil spirit said to these seven sons of Sceva, I know Jesus. And I know Paul. But who are you? I want to ask the question this morning, what does the devil know about you? Father, help me today to take this unusual passage of Scripture and bring a message that would help each of us to stop and look at our life and get some answers to vital questions, lest we go through our life and waste it and face eternity without hope, or as a Christian with a wasted life. Now, I need your help. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, as I was reading and studying this week, you spake to my heart and laid on my heart to preach from this passage about this subject. Now, I need your help. And Lord, I know that you who know all things, you knew that someone would be here today that's going to need desperately what I'm going to say. So would you use it to do a work in their heart, save every unsaved person in this building. Help every backslider to get right with God, and every faithful Christian to make that determination and commitment not to go to the left hand or the right hand, but stay true in the will of God for their life. Now, Lord, we need you, and we'll thank you in advance for all you shall do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul was greatly being used of God in the city of Ephesus. The Bible tells us he continued there about 2 years, and many people were being saved, and many were being healed. Now, evil spirits are demon spirits or devils, the Bible calls them evil spirits or devils, were being cast out of suffering people who were demon possessed. God's power was being made manifest in a miraculous way, in lives being changed. By the way, when God's power is demonstrated, it is not for entertainment, it is for life-changing purposes. There were some men at Ephesus who saw Paul casting out the evil spirits and thought that they'd do it too. These were unsaved men. They were sons of a Jew, the chief priest, there in Ephesus. Now these men were the seven sons of Sceva. They charged, they commanded the evil spirits to come out of the people. And the evil spirits responded and said to the seven sons of Sceva, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Even the devils know that Jesus is the Son of God. Even the devil knows that Christ has power over them." Mark chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible tells us when Jesus came into the country of Gadarea and cast out the demons or devils out of the maniac of Gadara, the devils cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." They knew that Jesus had power over them. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew that Jesus was the Savior. They knew He was the promised one, that He was the Messiah. They said, "Jesus, I know." Isn't it amazing that the devil and his demons have more understanding and knowledge of Jesus and who He is than some Christians? Some of you know you're saved, but that's about all. You don't know anything about His eternal existence before He came to earth. You don't know anything about Jesus in the incarnation. You know nothing of the necessity of the virgin birth. Nothing about His sinless life. Nothing about His vicarious atonement. You know little about His death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. You know nothing about the doctrine of the great high priest, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Some of you know nothing about the second coming, the rapture, and what's going to happen during that time in the last days. The devils do. They said, "Jesus, I know." And then may I say that even the devils have some more knowledge about some of the men of God, about the men of God, than some of you. They knew who Paul was. They knew what he was before he got saved, and they knew what he was now in Christ Jesus. They knew that he had been forgiven, he had been redeemed, he had been saved, blood washed, that he once was a sinner on his way to hell, an enemy to God on their side. And they knew now that he belonged to God and was a servant of God and a preacher of God, a prophet of God, called by God. "Jesus, I know," the devil said, "and Paul, I know." They had understanding of who they were. But they said to these seven sons of Sceva, "Who are you? Who are you?" These evil spirits are devils. They knew the seven sons of Sceva were fakes. They had no authority. They weren't saved. They were not called of God. They knew they had no power over them. "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?" Jesus would cast out demons. Paul cast out evil spirits. They said, "Who are you? Who are you?" Now, these facts being true, I believe it just like the Bible teaches it. If the devil knows some things about some people, what does he know about you? I think the first thing that he knows about some here, he knows that you're easy prey. Doesn't take much to get you, some of you, to follow him and to obey him. He knows that. But let me tell you something about the devil. One of the characteristics of God is, and Christ, is that they are omniscient. The word omniscient means God, Christ, Holy Spirit, the Godhead, knows everything. He has all knowledge. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you were thinking about before you were thinking about it. I think I mean that. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But the devil is not omniscient. The devil does not know everything. And some of you need to realize that because of your gossip and because of your loose tongues, you're feeding fuel and fire to the devil. He doesn't know everything. He knows what is stated. He knows what is matter of fact. But he does not know everything. Sometimes people will ask me, "Preacher, what are you going to preach on next Sunday?" And I won't tell them. I have a hard enough time preaching while I'm preaching, battling the devil and all the problems that I have, and without giving the devil a week's head start on working against me. He doesn't know everything. He knows what is a matter of fact and a matter of record. One great preacher of times past, when he confessed his sin, he would not even speak them audibly. He'd write them on a piece of paper and pray, "God, these sins I've got on this piece of paper are my sins, and I need cleansing and forgiveness." And then he'd tear them up in little pieces and flush them down the toilet. He didn't want to verbalize them to the devil. Don't you believe the devil eavesdrops on your prayer life? Doesn't take him a lot of time on some, because there is no prayer life. But what does the devil know about you? "I know about Jesus," the devil says, "and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Let me ask you a series of questions this morning for my message. First of all, does he know that you know that you're 100% certain that you're saved? There's three people I want to know that I know that I know that I know, and I want them to know that I know that I'm saved. I want Jesus to know I'm saved. I want him to look at my life and my faith in him, that I have come the Bible way. I've not made up my way. It's not my opinion. I'm not satisfied with what I think. I have come the Bible way by faith and trust in Jesus alone to save me. I want God to know that. I want heaven's record to bear that out. Secondly, I want to know that. I don't want to live through life doubting and living in question marks about my eternity. I want to know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. 60%, 50%, 75%, none of that's good enough. I want to know 100% certain that I've put my trust in Jesus. Thirdly, I want the devil to know it. I want to verbalize it. I want to write it down. I want to state it. I want to tell it over and over again. I want the devil to know I'm no longer his. I belong to God. I've been born again. Heaven's my home. Does the devil know that you've been born again? See, God has your salvation recorded in heaven if you've been born again. It's your birth record. Your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you've been born again. Only way you can get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is to accept Christ as Savior. Just as the county and the state in which you were born has a record of your physical birth, heaven has a record of your spiritual birth. You ought to know that. And yet there are some people who go through life saying, man, I hope somehow I'm going to make it. If that's all you've got, you're not going to make it. Because the only salvation God purchased and God planned and God provided was a no-so salvation. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to, unto him against that day. God said, John, write this down. These things have I written unto them that believe that you may know you have eternal life. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those are assurance verses from the Bible. Now let me ask you, how can you say, I'm 100% sure I'm saved, and you look at those verses with doubt? Huh? How can you know that you're 100% saved, and you look at the assurance verses, and you doubt your salvation? You see, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God who lives within you to be a witness to you that you're a child of God. That's one of his responsibilities for the Christian. To be a witness within us, bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And when I read those assurance verses, the Holy Spirit of God said, that's you. Remember when you got saved? Remember when that was settled? I want the devil to know that I know I'm saved. I'm not going to let him play his tricks on me. I want the assurance of the Word of God. I want the witness of the Holy Spirit within me. I want to be able to look back to a time and place when I did what Jesus said, and that's put my trust and faith in Christ as my Savior. Can you look back to that time when you put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you? I was witnessing to some people who said they were Baptist. And I said, if you should die today, do you know for sure that you have been born again? They said, oh, we don't believe like that. We believe salvation is something you just kind of grow and evolve into. That's baloney. That's heresy. That's not the Word of God. I want the devil to know that what I believe about getting saved is exactly what God says in His Word. There's no difference. Does the devil know that you're saved and 100% sure? Secondly, or does the devil know you're a fake? You know, there's a couple of kinds of people, different kinds of people in this world. There's some who are lost and know it. They know nothing. They've done nothing. They've never been saved. They're not religious. Or maybe they are religious, but they're lost, and they know it. Then there's another group that's faking it. They're faking it. Pretending. I'm amazed at the people who get their name on the church roll that's never been born again. How sad. May I say to you, just as the devil knew these seven sons of Sceva, who was a Jew and a chief priest, these boys acted like, man, we're going to do what Paul did. We're going to declare in the name of Jesus. We're going to command these evil spirits to come out. They were faking it. They were not children of God. They had never been born again. And the devils knew it. May I say to you tonight, or today, there may be someone here today that's a fake. And the devil knows it. And God knows it. And even you know it. Does he know? Does the devil know that you're a fake? Thirdly, does the devil know that you're a faithful Christian? Or does he know that you're unfaithful as a Christian? Listen, I would warn any of you, don't mess around with the devil. Don't try to fake it out. Don't try to pretend you're faithful when you're not, or you're saved when you're not. The devil knows you're going to get in a lot of trouble. These seven sons of Sceva, they were faking it. They were pretending to be Christians. And they said, we command the evil spirits to come out of this man. And you know what they did? They said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but buddy, we don't know you guys. And the evil spirits moved on this man to jump on him. And this one man just whooped up bad on seven sons of Sceva, stripped their clothes off, wounded them, and they ran away. By the way, as I said before, when the devil starts to deal with a person's life, they end up naked and wounded. It's not God moving so-called Christians to run around half-naked. It's the devil. Remember the maniac in Gadara? When the devils got through with him, he wore no clothes. He lived in the tombs. He was a madman. He cried day and night. He had no peace. He cut himself. No man could tame him. You say, what's wrong with my kid? He's a Christian, but he's living like the devil. He may be faking his Christianity. The devils are in control of his life. Does the devil know that you're a faithful Christian? Or does he know that you're unfaithful? Let me ask you some questions in regard to this. Does he know that you've been saved the Bible way and you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? My first opportunity to declare my salvation after I'm saved is to be baptized. When I go into the water, or when a new believer goes into the water, they're saying to the world, to the devil and his demon spirits, I belong to Jesus. I've been blood bought. I'm a child of God. I'm making my public profession today in Jesus Christ. Does the devil know that you've been faithful to follow the Lord in believer's baptism after you got saved? Oh, devil snookered some of you into believing that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Or that it's part of your salvation. No, it's a testimony that it has been completed in Jesus Christ. You say, what do I do if I've not been baptized after I got saved? Well, get baptized. What do you do if you've sincerely got saved, but you've been baptized in a church that believes baptism is necessary for salvation? Get right. Get in the right kind of church and get baptized scripturally. What's the devil? Does he know that you're a faithful Christian? I'd hate to hold on to heresy and to false teaching when I know the truth. Secondly, does the devil know you're faithful to worship God every Lord's Day with your church, unless sick or providentially hindered? And by the way, you know what sick means. providentially hindered means the act of God that kept you from being in your place of worship. Doesn't mean you went fishing on Sunday. God didn't have anything to do with that. God didn't have anything to do with you choosing to work and make double time on Sunday. God didn't have anything for you to do with you choosing to visit family on the Lord's Day. Does the devil know that you're faithful to serve God on the Lord's Day? You see, he knows what it takes to keep you from worshiping God with your church. He knows. If he can use this or that to get you out of faithful worship of God in the local church, then he'll use it time and time again. He knows what it'll take, and I'm sure the devil knows and will continue to provide similar excuses for you. Oh, I love this next thought. Does the devil know that you're faithful to give your tithes and offerings to the Lord? Every year, we keep out a record of the giving of the people and give a giving report at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year for their records or financial records. And we do this. You might be interested in knowing that 80% of the finances of a church are given by less than 20% of the members of that church. 80% of the members give less than 20% of the offerings and tithes to the church. I can't call them tithes because a tithe is a tenth of your gross. And you'd be surprised. I have to call in Sunday school teachers or bus workers and people who are committed to ministry. And one of the requirements for a person to serve here is they must be faithful in attendance. They must be faithful in giving their tithes and offerings to their local church. And there's times I have to call people in and say, the records show that you're not tithing. And you ought to hear some of the excuses I hear. As you verbalize those excuses, may I remind you the devil hears them too. God hears them. The devil hears them. God knows they're not true. And the devil's taking note and saying, if he'll use that as an excuse, I'll just keep giving it to him. Because I want to keep him in the area of cursing, not in the area of blessing. Let me move along. You want me to get off of that quick, don't you? Does the devil know that you're faithfully fulfilling the Lord's will and purpose for your life? He knew who Jesus was and why he came. He knew who Paul was. He knew about his salvation. He knew about his calling and his ministry. Now say, devil knows about you too, Christian, whether or not you're fulfilling God's will and purpose for your life. God's will and purpose is not just to save you so you can get to heaven, but he gives you spiritual gifts and talents and ability and time so that you might use them in serving him in your local church. He has a will for your life. Some he calls to teach, some to preach, some others to be missionaries. Some have Sunday school class and are department heads. Some are bus captains and drivers or workers. Makes no difference. Wherever God uses you and burdens you to serve him, God help us to be faithful there. Boy, we have a need for bus drivers. We have buses ready to be put on the route, but we don't have a driver for it. A driver that'll get their CDL. A driver who can drive legally, and we're not going to have someone drive illegally. But there's people listening to my voice to whom God has spoken about a CDL. And you made excuses. You'd rather go on like you are out of not doing the will of God for your life than obey him. And you know the devil knows that. Devil knows that. What does the devil know about your faithfully fulfilling the Great Commission? About being a witness for Him, about being a giver to missions and support the missions ministry of your church. As you know, you're faithful, we're about to have our missions conference here in just a few weeks. Some of you have made it possible that this church can send the gospel around the world. If the ability this church had to send the gospel was dependent upon some of your giving, it wouldn't get across Davis Street. And the devil knows who's helping him out. And God knows who's helping him. Well, let me conclude. It would be a terrible shame if the devil was more certain about your eternity than you are, wouldn't it? I think I'd get that straight while I've got time. There's a lot of things I can make it through life just fine and not be certain of, but I can't make it through life be what I ought to be if I'm not certain of where I'm going to spend eternity. I want to settle this matter of salvation. I do know the devil also knows the weak areas of our life, and be sure that he'll attack you there. Some of you have already been under the attack of Satan this year. And you know the areas where he's attacking, and it is a foolish thing for us to live our life and not seek to strengthen the areas of our weakness. When we know our weakness and we do nothing to try to strengthen them, we're just opening the door to the devil to let him come in and get control. And I've preached this message today because I know that our great need is not to ignore our spiritual problems, but admit them and bring them to Jesus, who's able to do something about them. He can forgive our sins and make us clean and right in His sight. He can save our soul and give us everlasting life in Jesus Christ. He can be your strength in your time of weakness. He can be your friend in the hour of loneliness. He can be your burden bearer when things get so heavy you don't think you can go another step. He can give direction and purpose to your life when it's aimless and without direction or purpose. What do we need to do? We need to run to Jesus. We need to turn to Him. James 4 says in verse number 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. You know what some of you are doing today? You're submitting to the devil and resisting God. Stop fighting against God. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He'll lift you up. Our need is to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Not ignore our problems, not ignore our sins, not ignore our failures and our foolishness. Bring them to Jesus. The devil already knows about them. God already knows about them. It would be important that you come to the same conclusion the devil has and God has and come to Jesus. My, there's what hope is and victory is. But we must turn to Him, turn to Christ. Father, thank You for putting this story in the Bible and helping us to realize that, Lord, if we're not careful, we'll live our life and waste our life never knowing we're saved, never knowing we're right with God.